Welcome, everybody,
to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gertz. We got a lot to talk about today. I've not done news in a couple weeks. There's been a lot of stuff that's been going on. I've been able to do it. I know I'm recording this super, super late, but here we go. Let's talk about Disney Plus Day. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Disney Plus Day. Well, here we go. Just number one, new Marvel on Disney Plus. Shang-Chi and The Legend of Ten Rings is now streaming, in case you haven't seen Shang-Chi yet. Which does now mean we will be talking about Shang-Chi on the podcast without any spoiler warnings. Okay? So whenever we talk, so I will no longer be saying spoiler alert for Shang-Chi. Like, once these movies get to, like, on demand, and actually, Venom, Let There Be Carnage is on digital today. So, next podcast, Venom 2, we're going to be talking about Venom 2 and all its open spoilery goodness, which we've already done. So, if you guys have listened to those podcasts, you know what's coming. I don't anticipate us talking much about Shang-Chi in full spoilery details right now. But Venom 2 coming up in the next couple weeks now. Yeah. With No Way Home coming out. So, spoiler alerts are now over for both Shang-Chi and Legend of Ten Rings and Venom Let There Be Carnage. Because Shang-Chi is now on Disney Plus and Venom 2 is now available to watch on at home. We'll still be going into, like, whenever we do discuss Eternal spoilers, I'll still say, I'll give you guys the full spoiler alert in case you have not yet seen Eternals. So, yeah, but once Eternals is on Disney Plus, that's going to go away also. So, yeah. But let's talk about all the news coming out of Disney Plus Day, which, there weren't any trailers, there were no release dates, but we got a good amount of stuff. I'm not going to go into breaking down all the footage. All I'm going to say is that Moon Knight looks incredible. And I'll be honest here, guys. Like, I'm recording this podcast super late, like a week and a half late. Hawkeye is coming out tonight. Yeah, I'm excited for Hawkeye. My excitement for Hawkeye is more, it's like, oh my god, I'm getting to see some new MCU content. That's what my excitement was for WandaVision. That's what it was for the Falcon Winter Soldier. That's what it was for What If. Loki, I had real anticipation for Loki. Moon Knight. Right now, Moon Knight is the only upcoming piece of Marvel content that I have actual anticipation for. I'm just being honest. Like, of course, I'm going to lose my mind when I see No Way Home. And I'm counting down the days for No Way Home, but that's just because it's the next Marvel movie and we know how big it's going to be. Like, does that make sense? Like, I'm still excited for these. It's just Moon Knight's the only thing that's coming out soon that, like, I have real anticipation for. And then there's also, you know, there's Guardians 3, which I'm so excited for Guardians 3. I'm super excited for Deadpool 3. I'm super excited for Blade, but Moon Knight right now is, the only thing next year I'm really anticipating all that much. So Moon Knight looks absolutely fantastic. Moon Knight looks so good. So we got our first look. All right, so here we go. If you guys did see the Marvel Studios 2021 Disney Plus Day special, which is streaming on Disney Plus, so if you've not seen that, you should go watch it. It's like 15 minutes long. Get some new look at Hawkeye in there, some announcements, all that stuff. It's basically like, remember back in May when they did the Marvel Studio Celebrates the Movies? And it was like, here's some new footage at the upcoming films, and here are some date announcements, and yeah. Remember they did that? That's basically what this was, but for the Disney Plus shows. So basically, Moon Knight is a new globe-trotting action-adventure series featuring a complex vigilante who suffers from dissociative identity disorder. The multiple identities who live inside him must find themselves or find them, the multiple identities who live inside him find themselves thrust into a deadly war of the gods against the backdrop of modern and ancient Egypt. Moon Knight is directed by Mohamed Diab and is coming to Disney Plus in 2022. That's super exciting. I love that. I love the ancient world. You guys know that was my favorite part of Eternals. Again, I'm not going into Eternals spoilers, but my favorite parts of Eternals were the ancient world parts. Loved that in Loki. I love almost everything about the Loki series, but particularly when it got into the time stuff. That's when I really loved that show. So, I'm super excited for Moon Knight. That's going to be great. We also got our first look at She-Hulk. She-Hulk follows Jennifer, a lawyer who specializes in superhuman or oriented legal cases. She-Hulk will welcome a host of Marvel characters to the series, including the Hulk, played by Mark Ruffalo, and the Abomination, played by Tim Roth. The new comedy series is coming to Disney Plus in 2022 and is written by executive producer Jessica Gao and directed by executive producer Kat Coiro and Anu Valia. I've been saying it for a while, guys, and this is something I've heard too, that you guys know, Daredevil is my favorite superhero. Daredevil is my favorite. And there are reports going around right now that Charlie Cox will be returning as Matt Murdock in 4 upcoming projects. Though those projects are going to be his cameo in Spider-Man No Way Home. So he's going to cameo in No Way Home. He will then have a smaller role in She-Hulk, where we'll sort of get the first teases of him being Daredevil. He'll be in Echo. And the Echo series, there are reports saying that the Echo series sets up either a 4th season of Daredevil, which I don't think they're going to call it Daredevil Season 4. I don't think it's going to be called Season 4. But, you know, a new project with hopefully that original cast. Really hope that original cast. So, yeah. She-Hulk is coming soon. Just talk about Daredevil some more. We also got our first look at Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel introduces viewers to Kamala, a 16-year-old Pakistani-American from Jersey City, an aspiring artist, an avid gamer, and a voracious fan fiction scribe. She's a huge fan of the Avengers, and one in particular, Captain Marvel. But Kamala has always struggled to find her place in the world. That is until she gets superpowers like the heroes she's always looked up to. Iman Vellani stars as Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel. Episodes are directed by executive producers Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fala, Mira Menon, and Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy. So, yeah, Ms. Marvel is coming to Disney Plus in summer 2022. So, yeah. What's next? Let's stick with live action. New look, officially announced. First look at Secret Invasion. New title. Love the new title. It's great. We got our first footage. It's just a shot of Fury with, like, who's looking all old and everything. I don't even think that's Fury. I think that's a Skrull. So, guys, the speculation that was going around for WandaVision almost a year ago? That's right, WandaVision was almost a year ago. Secret Invasion is going to be 10 times that. So, yeah. The series stars Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury and Ben Mendelsohn as the Skrull Talos, characters who first met in Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel, the crossover comic event series, showcases a faction of shape-shifting Skrulls who've been infiltrating Earth for years. That is exciting. Can't wait for Secret Invasion next year. More in live action. Ironheart. New title logo treatment for Ironheart been revealed. Looks pretty cool. I like this logo more than the last one. It looks, you know, it reminds me of what Stark built in the cave. If I'm being completely honest, that's what it reminds me of. It also looks a little bit Wakandan. That makes sense now that we know that we're going to first meet this character in Black Panther 2 next year in Wakanda Forever. And then we'll be seeing her in this Disney Plus series. The series stars Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams, a genius inventor who creates the most powerful, who creates the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man. That's all we know about Ironheart. No updates on Armor Wars, except for that the show is still happening. The Echo series has been officially announced. Who we're going to meet tonight. We meet her tonight in Hawkeye. The series, so this was actually first reported, this show, back in like March, was when we first heard the show was coming out. And it's been officially announced today, or not today, a couple weeks ago. The series stars Alacqua Cox as Maya Lopez, a character who will be introduced in Marvel Studios' Hawkeye. So we're going to first meet her tonight in tonight's episode premiere, and then we're going to see her grow throughout the rest of the series, and then she'll get her own series. I can't wait for that. I'm not as excited about this show right now because we just don't know the character yet. But speaking of spinoffs, We heard this news. We heard this news last month. It was broke last month that an Agatha Harkness series was in development, and it's official. It's official. It was revealed that Emmy nominee Catherine Hahn will reprise her role as Agatha Harkness for a brand new Disney Plus series, Agatha House of Harkness. Will reveal more about the character first introduced in Marvel Studios' WandaVision. Jack Schaefer, who served as head writer and executive producer on WandaVision, returns for Agatha, House of Harkness. And we must be sure to hide all dogs named Sparky. So, I really love this character. I think that Agatha was really cool in the show. And I can't wait to see some more of her. You know, I think we talked about this about a month or so ago. Like, what could this show be about? I hope it's, like, showing stuff through time. I'd love to see more prequels and, like, showing us the ancient history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think that could be really cool. I think that could be really, really, really cool to see. So, yeah, Agatha House of Harkness is coming soon to Disney+. Moving now into animation, we first heard about this about 2 years ago, but this is now a completely official What If Season 2, which we now have like a title card for, like we got the logo now. Feige first said there was going to be Season 2 like 2 years ago. And then they talked a little bit more about it in the Marvel Assembled episode last month, about making a Season 1. But yeah, here we go, official announcement for Season 2. The second season, the fan-favorite animated series. After enlisting the Guardians of the Multiverse to stop Infinity Ultron, the Watcher returns in Season 2 of What If, to meet new heroes and explore more strange new worlds in the MCU's ever-expanding multiverse. Directed by executive producer Brian Andrews and written by executive producer A.C. Bradley. So yeah, you guys know, I liked What If. I didn't love it, but, you know, I thought it was a solid show for the most part. I'm excited to see Season 2. Yeah. Also with What If, you guys know, I'm a big fan of zombies. Big fan of zombies. I absolutely adored the Marvel Zombies episode in What If Season 1. I adore that episode. Which is why I'm really happy to hear that there's a Marvel Zombies animated series in development. The animated series from Marvel Studios reimagines the Marvel Universe as a new generation of heroes battle against an ever-spreading zombie scourge. Directed by executive producer Brian Andrews and written by executive producer Zeb Wells. So yeah, Marvel Zombies coming soon to Disney Plus. Love it. Love it so much. I am Groot. The series of shorts follows baby Groot's glory days growing up and getting into trouble among the stars. So yeah, this looks like, so we heard about this show last year, this I Am Groot series. Yeah, cool. Cool. I'm not excited for this, really. You know, just more Marvel to talk about, I guess. Yeah, it should be a fun short about Baby Groot. So yeah, not really all that much I gotta say about I Am Groot series right now. Two more pieces of news talk. I got this one. This one I'm saving for last because I got the most to say about it, I think. We're getting a new animated series titled Spider-Man Freshman Year. The animated series follows Peter Parker on his way to becoming Spider-Man in the MCU with a journey unlike anything we've ever seen and a style that celebrates the character's early comic book roots, written by executive producer Jeff Trammell. So, you guys know, Spider-Man Homecoming is my favorite MCU movie. I think it's an A-plus movie. It's a movie I can watch again and again. I still laugh with all the time. I love Spider-Man Homecoming. One thing I really don't like is origin stories. Especially when we've seen the origin story several times. Like, I'm really excited because it looks like in the Batman next year, we're not going to see the pearls go flying. I'm excited for that. I don't want to see Martha Wayne die again. And the father's name, you guys are going to bully me on Twitter for not remembering what Bruce's father's name is. I want to say Howard, but no, it's Stark. So I just don't remember. All right, you guys are going to bully me, so let's just look it up right now. You can hear me be wrong. Batman dad name. Let's see. Thomas Wayne. That's right. Thomas, of course. But look. One of the reasons why I really love Spider-Man Homecoming is because it just skips the origin story. It just skips it. And this is something we're going to be talking a lot more about later on the podcast today when I do review The Amazing Spider-Man. Where this is saying a journey unlike we've ever seen. I'll bet you $100 that Uncle Ben dies in the first three episodes. Within the first three episodes, Uncle Ben will die. Uncle Ben, fine. Maybe not the first three. Like, maybe they'll like have the show run for like 12 seasons. It's like it's going to be season four when Uncle Ben finally dies. But Uncle Ben's going to die in this series. And it's just not really something that interests me. And look, there's that, but then there's also the aspect of a lot of people feeling that the Spider-Man we've seen in the MCU is really not the best version of the character. Because he has so much help from Tony Stark. In the movies, we've only seen one suit made by Peter Parker. Fully made by Peter Parker, and it was the hoodie suit. In a little bit of Civil War, and a little bit more in Homecoming, but mostly in Homecoming. Looks like this show is going to give us a whole lot of Spider-Man origin story. But then here's the other side of that. I've been saying, I don't think that No Way Home is going to end. Like, I think that when No Way Home ends, the process for Spider-Man's exit from the MCU will have begun. Whether he's gone at the end of the movie, or it just sets up his exit, that will be introduced by the end of No Way Home. And having this prequel series, just showing us more of the backstory of Peter Parker, just confirms that to me so much more. I just really hope that it's Tom Holland who comes back to do the voice for this. I really hope it is. I really hope it is. So yeah, that's Spider-Man freshman year. We will see. We will see. The last thing. This meme was the most surprising. One of the biggest surprises out of Disney Plus Day this year was Marvel Studios X-Men 97. An all-new original series coming to Disney Plus in 2023. The animated series from Marvel Studios explores new stories in the iconic 90s timeline of the original series, written by executive producer Bo DiMaio, which means after we go through all the Spider-Man movies, we will be starting our process of going back. And I'll be watching X-Men the Animated Series for the first time. We'll be doing it for the podcast because this new show is coming out. So this is basically just like X-Men the Animated Series Season 6. Is, I think, really what this boils down to. I know there are a lot of really big fans of that show. I hope we could become one of those fans when I finally do get to dive into the original series and once this continuation comes out in like a year and a half. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I wonder if these characters, if it's me, like, because this show is from Marvel Studios. It's from Marvel Studios. I wonder if maybe the versions of the X-Men from the series will come into the MCU. I think that's possible. I think that's actually very possible that we could see that happen. Not very possible. I think the door is open for that. I think that the door is open for that to happen. But yeah. So, X-Men 97 is coming in 2023. So, yeah, that's all the news from Disney Plus Day. Not as much as I thought that we were going to get, but, you know, still enough. Still enough right there. Let's just check Rotten Tomatoes right now for Hawkeye. Hawkeye current... I mean, not that Rotten Tomatoes really matters, but... critics' consensus. Hawkeye starts off slowly, but the street-level action is a refreshing change of pace for the MCU, and the chemistry between its leads sparkles even when the plot lags. So this is just based on the first two episodes, which we're going to be seeing tomorrow, in like 6 hours. It's currently got, with 47 reviews, and 87%. So pretty solid. I hope I like the show. This show looks like a lot of fun. I've been hearing this show compared to the Marvel Netflix universe a lot. I love that. Really, really love that. You guys know I adore those shows. Especially Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and The Punisher. And the first half of Luke Cage season 1. I thought that season 2 was pretty good, but I think that those first 6 episodes of Luke Cage season 1 are some of the best for Marvel television. Like, I really think those first 6 episodes might be 7. But you guys will know, there is a point. I think I've said this before in the podcast. But there is a point, about halfway through Luke Cage season 1, where something big happens, and it's like a WTF moment. It's huge. It's a huge WTF moment. It's like, wait, that wasn't the finale? And the season just keeps going for like 6 or 7 more episodes. And it is, it's a struggle to get through those last couple episodes. And it, yeah. So, and anyway, I'm excited for Hawkeye. Super excited for Hawkeye. We're going to be covering it. We're going to have the first podcast for that coming out on Wednesday, November 24th. And the second podcast covering episode 2 will be releasing on Thursday, November 25th. So all you guys who need to go and hide in the bathroom to escape from your relatives on Thanksgiving, you have something to listen to. You're very welcome. So yeah, Hawkeye tonight. Super excited, guys. I don't think there's that much other real news to talk about. I don't think. Oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania has wrapped principal photography. It's awesome. The movie's out in about 1.5 years. So, yeah. The movie's wrapped. Yeah. There's that. Is there any other news? I'm just going through it, guys. I'm just looking. I don't really think there's anything else to talk about. So, let's now get into The Amazing Spider-Man. So, I've been going back through the previous Spider-Man movies in the run-up to No Way Home. Because I do believe, especially after that last trailer that we got last week, that Tobey and Andrew are in this movie. Tobey and Andrew are in this movie. So, you know, I've been going back through and it's like, all right, well, maybe they're not in the movie, but, you know, I think we should still have these podcasts available in our archives. You know, if you guys want to go back and listen to my reviews of the older Spider-Man films. And even if they're not, I mean, these villains are still going to be a big part of the movie. You know, like, we've seen the lizard in the trailer. So, there's that. And I've been saying, I've been very critical of the Raimi films before I review them. I've said, like, you know, they're fine. They're a little bit overrated. Those first two were great. Those first two were great movies. Spider-Man 3 was even more disappointing for me because of how much I loved the first two. And The Amazing Spider-Man is one of the first comic book movies I ever saw. And I remember really liking it. I really liked this movie when I first saw it. I was like 10 years old. And I'm very mixed on this film. I really am. I'm really mixed on it. Because, like, is it a good film? No. It's not a good film. But I think that this is a much more realistic take on Spider-Man. And I'm just going to say right now, I think that Homecoming, like, this movie cemented for me that Tom Holland, and I thought that Tobey was great as Peter. I think that Andrew was great as Spider-Man. But you really need an actor who can bridge that gap and be a great Peter Parker in one scene and be a great Spider-Man in the next, and that's what Tom Holland is. Andrew is an incredible Spider-Man. An incredible Spider-Man. And I can point to 2 scenes in particular. I think that there are only truly 2 scenes in this entire movie that really do showcase who Spider-Man is. there's the scene when he's in the alleyway with the car thief. And then the car thief brings out the tiny pocket knife and he goes, "Oh, you found my one weakness. Small knives." Like, I love that. I love that whole scene. And, you know, going back into What If, episode 5, the zombie episode. Because this is all a big multiverse now. I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think that the what if we can see with these Sony, with these previous Sony films is the Tobey timeline is like, what if Spider-Man was the only Avenger? And then the Andrew Garfield movies are more, what if Peter Parker was in love with Gwen Stacy? Yeah, there are other differences, but, you know, I think those are the two we can really boil down to the most. But anyway, they are, because we're seeing these variants of Peter Parker now, because there's the sacred timeline. Say what you will, but Tom Holland Spider-Man is the real Spider-Man. And then Toby and Andrew are variants. And we can see in that zombie episode of What If, we can truly, I think, see how Peter Parker, most of all, uses his comedy and his humor and his quips as a coping mechanism. I do that. I do that a lot. So, something I really love about this movie is that Spider-Man, not necessarily Peter, but Spider-Man never loses his heart. Not for one moment. He's always Spider-Man. Well, whenever he's in the suit, he is Spider-Man. He always feels like Spider-Man. You know, it's a much cooler movie also. Because this was in the early days of the MCU, the Avengers had just come out, and nothing that happened in the Avengers impacted the development and production of this movie at all. Because they were released in the same year, within like 3 months of each other, I believe. So, yeah, but then now that we were like in this era of comic book movies like The Dark Knight and Iron Man that were a lot cooler, why not update Spider-Man for that? And again, I think they found a really great merging point with Tom Holland. And what these movies, going back through them, have really made me appreciate is just how great Tom's performance and portrayal is. And I think that John Watts is the best, maybe not the best person. I think he's a great dude. But, you know, I think that John Watts understands more than Raimi, more than Mark Webb, what makes a great Spider-Man story. And that is not clashing the elements of being a high schooler and being a superhero. It's not that. It's merging them and blending them. So you have that struggle. So, yeah. We're going to probably go back and talk about Homecoming and Far From Home before No Way Home comes out. But just because there's so much more I want to talk about those two movies in particular, especially Homecoming. So, moving on to the other scene. The other scene in this movie, where I was like, that's him. That's Spider-Man. Was the scene on the bridge. You guys hear Spider-Man and bridge is like, oh my god, not the bridge again. Just because it's all we've been seeing from No Way Home is just this damn bridge and everything. Is how, what was the kid's name? He was got in there, I'm going to just call him Jack. His name was Jack, I think. And it's just this beautiful scene. absolutely beautiful scene of Spider-Man with this kid, and he's just showing him that it's okay, and he doesn't have to be afraid. And it that scene to me truly embodies everything that Spider-Man is as a character. So I love that scene so much. Love it so, so much. And, you know, looking at negatives, there's some pretty big ones, pretty big negatives of this movie. Mostly the characterization of just about everybody else. A lot of the writing, a lot of the cinematography is... This movie has so much shaky cam, I really don't like it. I hate the shaky cam this movie uses. I don't really like Gwen in this movie. I don't... And maybe that's just because I'm used to, like, you know, rewatching the Tom Holland movies or coming right off the Raimi films. Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, I should say, is a little bit too cool in this movie. You know, like, Peter Parker shouldn't really just, like, you know, it's like they're just telling you that Andrew Garfield is a nerd. Like, you buy that Toby's a nerd the first time you see him. You can sort of buy that with Tom Holland. More with Toby, but also with Tom a lot. Because Tom also has this sort of awkwardness that Peter Parker needs to have. But it's like with Andrew, it's just like... How is he not super popular? You know, like it just doesn't really make sense to me. That's something I didn't buy. And also, just... I don't think that Spider-Man should get the girl A in the first movie. You know, you can look at, like, Toby and MJ didn't end up together until really the end of the third movie, but they didn't start to date until the second one. The end of the second one. And then the same with Tom and Zendaya. And then Gwen agrees to go out on a date with Peter Parker in the first, what, half hour, 40 minutes of the movie? And, like, they sort of are able to do it with Gwen where it's, like, we can tell that she's not super popular. And she's, like, she's popular, but, like, she's also nerdy enough where, like, it makes sense for her to be interested in Peter Parker. But I just don't think it should be all that easy for Spider-Man. You know, it shouldn't be that easy for Peter Parker. But yeah, I actually really love the suit. I really love the suit in this movie. I think it looks really cool. I know people are like, well, I don't like it. It looks like a basketball. I actually really like the basketball look. I think it looks really, really awesome. And that's just my opinion. You guys can feel free to disagree with me on that. But that's just my opinion. I really love the suit. Andrew's suit in this movie and also in the second one, I think. I think he does keep the same suit for the second movie. So, yeah, these have been like quick little thoughts on these Spider-Man movies. That's really all I got to say on this one. I'm excited to see how the lizard comes back. That's another thing, is I don't really like how they never really differentiated Kurt Connors from the Lizard. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that internal struggle that we see with Norman Osborn and the Goblin in the original 2002 film. I would have loved to have seen some more of that, but we just really didn't. I would have loved to, because what Spider-Man's about to me Spider-Man is about the duality. Especially within Peter and Spider-Man. But then also throughout his entire rogues gallery. I think that's something that the Raimi films did very well. When you look at the differences and the contrast between Norman Osborn and Green Goblin. And you look at Otto Octavius and Doc Ock. And then a little bit there in Spider-Man 3 with Sandman. It's not even explored here with Lizard. It's not even explored, like, not even for a moment. And it's something I really don't like. I want them to, like, explore that more. And I doubt that they're going to do it with Electro in the next movie. Because I don't really remember all that much about the next movie. But yeah, that's about it. That's all I really got to say about this movie. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to. I think it's better than Spider-Man 3. But yeah. Yeah, let's watch the next one now. And I'm just preparing for a train wreck. I gotta be honest, I'm preparing for a train wreck. With TASM 2. Just because, I mean... Alone, from the little that I remember, I was like, this is so confusing. Like, why are we going into all this? I don't remember exactly what the context was, but... Yeah, but the next podcast, guys, gonna be out soon. upcoming podcasts we have coming out. Today I recorded the Hitmonkey episode 1 review, because I'm kind of just reshuffling stuff. By this time, not next week, I think everything should be in, like, a regular format, and everything should be easy to find. But upcoming podcasts, we have 4 upcoming shows. We have Hawkeye episode 1, Hawkeye episode 2, full season review for Marvel's Hitmonkey, and which I really liked the first episode 4 today. I thought that was pretty good. That's on Hulu, and then also we got Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then there's, I think that's most of it done. Because I'm probably going to do Spider-Verse, because how much I freaking love Spider-Verse. And new trailers and stuff of that nature. So, yeah, keep an eye out on the podcast feed. Also, if you're a Star Wars fan, go and check out Tusken Radio. So, yeah, thank you guys so, so much for listening. I'm your host, Drew Gretsch. With great power comes great responsibility.